courageous women in the Bible. So you might wonder, well, where were we going? Well, all the songs were around the cross. That was for a reason. We are looking at courageous women at the cross. When Jesus approached the cross, it was a dreadful time. You know, everything, he had had such multitudes following him. His ministry was so exciting. But it started to go downhill. He had some hard sayings. And by the time of the crucifixion, see, this wasn't what many people were expecting. The common Jew of the time expected that the Messiah would descend out of heaven and the throne would be set up in Jerusalem. You see, they had no understanding of a spiritual kingdom. They didn't know that Jesus came to set up an earthly, a heavenly kingdom, rather. He said, "My kingdom is not of this earth. If it were, my servants would fight." So they were greatly disappointed. The excitement of the huge crowds, the great teachings, and the great signs had passed. Many had already deserted Jesus. Why? John 6, verse 60 and verse 66, his sayings became hard. What was hard in that context was he said, "I am the bread of life, and unless you eat of me, you're going to die." And they said, "How can we eat of him?" See, they were thinking physically. They couldn't think spiritually. He told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And very physically, Nicodemus said, "How can I take my mother and open her up and climb in and be born again?" Well, Jesus meant spiritually. He said, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" So his teachings were hard because they looked at it physically. Was one of the main reasons. Peter was shattered. He said, "Lord, I will defend you. I will die for you." And yes, when all that crowd, there was a whole big crowd there, armed with swords and clubs, at the risk of his life, Peter took his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's slave. So he was true to his word, but then Jesus said, "Don't do this. Do you not know that I, at one word, I could call 12 legions of angels?" So Peter is shattered. He tried to defend his Lord. He tried to do what he knew was right, and he was rebuked. He's going to go on to deny Jesus on three successive occasions, three occasions of denial. Remember, if I deny to Al, well, Laura also hears it, and all the rest of you, but it's one denial. That's how these denials came. There were actually many people when Peter denied him, and it was a chaotic time. But not only was Peter, all the disciples were shattered. Matthew 27, verse 56, and Mark chapter 14, verse 50, talk about after they came and got Jesus, all the disciples fled. Now, two of them come back. John and Peter do return, but only John stays true. Peter denies him three times. Many people had left. Many crowds had gone, but there were those that stayed, and among them were some very courageous women. Why courageous? Well, everyone was leaving because they were scared. But these women stood there. In fact, some of them were so close that they could hear the words of Jesus, as we're going to find out. You see, you could be way back in the crowd and maybe they might not notice you're there, but they were right up front, right where all the hostility could be there. Who were these women at the cross? Let me read to you. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 27, verses 55 and 56. The Bible there says, reading from the New King James Version, "And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there, looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's sons." Keep some of that in mind there. The mother of Zebedee's son. Keep her in mind. Because look over where Mark records. Mark chapter 14. Well, not chapter 14, 15 rather. Mark chapter 15. And we're looking here at verse 40. So Matthew said there were many women. So many of these are unnamed. But we have about six of them that are named, three of them given here. So Mark chapter 14, 15 rather, verse 40, the Bible says, "There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem." So there was a lot of women, but these are named. Now note, Mary Magdalene is the same as Matthew. Mary, the mother of James, is the same, only here they let you know this is James, the one called the Less. Now, no one knows for sure why he was called the Less. In The Chosen, they say it was because he was crippled. I looked up every historical reference I could find. There's no proof of that. May have been, but not something we knew. See, Chosen is good, but where you don't know something, it adds some things in to make the story more exciting. So you can't really say they're wrong because we don't know that. But why he was called that, we don't know for sure, but it distinguishes him from the other James. And then Joses, so that this may have been a short for Joseph. And then notice the last one, and Salome. Now this is believed, since it's the same, believed to be the same three women. They generally, most scholars hold that Salome is the mother of the sons of Zebedee, which we know from other scripture. Who were they? The sons of thunder, James and John. And why were they called the sons of thunder? Because when a village didn't want to receive Jesus, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and consume them?" So they were given to a strong temper. But notice the change that Jesus makes, because the Apostle John becomes known as the Apostle of Love. So dramatic change is taking place. One final scripture. There's a closer group of three women up right at the cross where they can hear Jesus. Now this becomes four. So perhaps Mary Magdalene saw these other three women closer and moves with them. Whatever the case, she is now going to be mentioned with the three women, three other women right at the cross. So that makes four with her there. John chapter 19, verse 25, the Bible says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, mother's sister," so two, "three, Mary the wife of Clopas, and four, Mary Magdalene." Look at Luke, just so we get Luke in there too. Luke chapter 23 and verses 27 and 28. Luke is a little bit more vague. He doesn't mention the women by name. But it just tells you there were a lot of people there. Luke chapter 23, verse beginning at verse 27, "And a great multitude of the people followed him, and the women also mourned and lamented him. And Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." So we could assume from that that at least a number of these women were from Jerusalem, as he says, daughters of Jerusalem. Wouldn't necessarily mean that they're all from Jerusalem, but at least enough where he would make the phrase daughters of Jerusalem. All right, let's take a look at the points as we have. Beginning at Luke, shows a great multitude of people who followed Jesus were at his crucifixion. Now, this is interesting because a great number had deserted him. But still, there's a great number there. Some of these are followers. There's also a big hostile crowd there. There's many that are indifferent, that just came to see the great spectacle. And then there's the religious leaders who are trying to stir everyone against Jesus. So you have a lot of people that are there. Among these are many unnamed women called daughters of Jerusalem, as I mentioned. But in the other Gospels, there are six women named. The first that we look at here, you've got three women described as from afar. What does afar mean? The simpler translations say from a distance. For most people, that would make sense. Afar means they're a long ways away. They likely wouldn't be able to hear Jesus when he's speaking. They're a ways away. Who were these women named? They were named Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of James, and Mark called the less, and Joses, Salome, Mark 15:40, whom Matthew 27:56 has mother of Zebedee's sons. And we note that Mary may have left those women. So then at the cross, you have four women, Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So let's take a look at these women. Let's take them by order. Some of these women we don't know a lot about, but let's share the ones, these courageous women, let's share the ones that we do know something about. Mary Magdalene, what do we know about her? Well, we know that she must have had a struggle at the beginning because she is the one, Luke chapter 8, verse 2, whom Jesus cast out seven demons. She is traditionally thought to be the woman who anointed Jesus in Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13, and Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Jesus was anointed twice in his life. That's where someone's anointing him with oil and spices. Twice for two different purposes. Luke chapter 7, much earlier in the ministry, a completely different situation. There you had a sinful woman who anointed him in a Pharisee's house because she was so thankful for her forgiveness. This later one is a whole different purpose. Why did Jesus say that this woman did this for him? They ridiculed her. And he said, don't ridicule her. She has done this to prepare my body. So it was done for a different reason. She was acknowledging, first one really to acknowledge that Jesus was going to give his life. And she was preparing his body for it. Who was that woman that's given in Matthew 26, 6 through 13, Mark 14, verses 3 through 9? The scripture doesn't tell us, but traditionally it's been held that this was Mary Magdalene. There is some outside evidence around this. Early writers who looked at it that she was this woman. So that's the traditional view. Can't prove it. Behind a saddle of a doubt, but most of the scholars that I read feel that she was that woman. Mary Magdalene, do we also know? We know in Luke chapter 8, verse 3, she was with a group of women who traveled with Jesus at times. They were at least at the spots where he was. And they provided for Jesus' disciples and Jesus out of their own personal means. So Jesus and his disciples needed to eat. They needed some type of money to trade for things. Well, these women helped out with those things. So we don't know a lot about them. They probably didn't sleep right with the men. That would have not been held as a good thing to do, but they likely met them in many of the places that they were. So they were with Jesus from very early and supported him out of their means. I would assume from everything I'm reading that Mary was one of great gratitude because she had had seven demons. If we know nothing else about her, she had seven demons and Jesus kicked them all out. Oh, that shows the power that Jesus had. She's listed at the cross in Matthew 27, verse 56, Mark chapter 15, verse 40, and then with the women right at the cross, John chapter 19, verse 25. The other women we don't know as much about. So you have Mary, the mother of James, the less, and Joses. You have Salome, believed to be the mother of Zebedee's sons. We don't really know a whole lot more about them. Just note, though, where many had fled, and even the apostles were crushed, these women were still there. Not only at the cross, but we're going to find that they were the first there to come and prepare his body after it had been buried. Who came first? It was women. They were there among the first to see the resurrected Lord. They stayed with him through everything, is what I want to notice. Now let's take particular note, the women that were right at the cross. The first one you have, Mary, the mother of Jesus. This one we know quite a bit about. She is proclaimed as the mother of the Savior. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. In Luke, it's made quite plain that this will be the one who will come and sit on the throne of his father, David. Now, father there, we see father can be used to mean descendant of. David was a long way removed from Jesus. But the prophecies were fulfilled. The Jews were wondering, how do they prove? Yes, this is the promised one. This is the one the prophet spoke of. And Luke spends a great deal of time showing that Jesus descended from that. You also see it in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1 does a great deal of showing Jesus' descent. But Luke is where Mary is told, this is the one that will sit on the throne of his father David. So that's something very personal. Luke 1, 26 through 56, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And Luke chapter 2, verse 35, you have an interesting man, Simeon. And he was told by God that he would not see death till he saw the Lord's Christ. That would be Jesus. And he sanctifies, Lord, thank you. You've let me see your salvation. Tells Mary that this child will be for a rise and fall of many nations and that a sword will pierce your heart. So truly, Mary did experience heartbreak as she saw her only son on the cross. I got some questions there. What was going on in her mind? She had been told, this is the promised one. He's going to fulfill everything. And now he's going to his death. This almost like Abraham. When Abraham is told, in Isaac, all every nation will be blessed. But then he tells Abraham, go sacrifice your son. Hebrews tells us that Abraham believed that God, if necessary, would raise him from the dead. What was going on in her mind? How could the prophecies come true? We may even ask, how much did she know of the total plan of Jesus? See, she was told from the beginning, but how much of that did she understand? How much of Simeon's prophecy came back to her mind? We'll never know. All we know is that she was there when she was the earthly mother. Jesus has a heavenly descent. We talked about in class with the little kids, when was Jesus born? You can say, I was born here and I was born there, and we give dates, but what did Jesus say? They asked in John 8, they were wondering when Jesus was born, and in verse 58, he says, before Abraham was, I am. The way that came up was that, can you be older than Abraham? And he says, before Abraham was, I am. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So from all eternity, Jesus was God. But what happened with Mary? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verse 14. So from all eternity, he was God the Son. But he became a man, and this is where Mary would come in. He's to be the Savior of the world. The other ones that we have is Mary's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and of course Mary Magdalene, who we talked about. Now Mary's sister and Mary the wife of Cleopas, there's four Marys in all. And we don't know a whole lot about these two either. There's not Mary's sister. That's the only place that she's mentioned. And this Mary, the wife of Cleopas, are only mentioned here. Many translations will have Cleopas, C-L-O-P-A-S. The word can have a variation. You might have some that have C-L-E-O-P-A-S. It's the same person. They're just not totally sure of the spelling. The literal here is Mary of Cleopas. So from the Greek language, that could mean Mary, daughter of Cleopas. But most of your translations, you'll probably see in italicized print, wife. It is commonly generally thought that she was the wife of Cleopas. These women were close enough to hear Jesus speak. Well, you want to know, how do you know that? How do you know that they heard Jesus speak? Look at John chapter 19 again. We're going to go just a little bit farther this time. John chapter 19, we read about the women at the cross, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Being that the other two women were there, we know at least Mary and John had to hear Jesus. They had to be close enough that they understood what he said, or this whole conversation would be fruitless. This is the disciple whom Jesus loved. Who is that disciple? This is a study for the book of John. Throughout the book of John, there is an unnamed disciple whom Jesus loved. He is the one that at the supper was leaning on the breast of Jesus. He is the one that at the end of the book of John, he's again leaning on Jesus when Jesus has resurrected. And Peter says, What about this man? And Jesus said, If I want him to remain until I come back, What is that to you? You follow me. Simple language. He said, Peter, none of your business. You follow me. See, Peter was meddling into something that wasn't his concern. Therefore, the saying went out that that disciple would not die. But Jesus didn't say that he would not die. He just said, Peter, what is that to me, to you? You follow me. The unnamed disciple is later on said to be the one who bore witness to these things as you go to the end of John. So every writer I've ever read look at the unnamed person as John, the one that wrote the passage there. So Jesus is looking at John and says, looking at Mary, behold your mother. He is going away. He's concerned about his earthly mother. Your mother. Then he says to her, looking back at John, from her to John, behold your son. And the Bible says that from that day, from that hour, he took her in. He took Mary in. So what is the impact of these women? Brought this up. Why did we bring this up? Why are we studying this? Partially, as I mentioned, these women, with others, followed Jesus after many had fled. Jesus gave everything for you and me. He suffered terribly. His suffering was so great that before any physical pain came upon, Luke records that his sweat became like drops of blood. That was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the other Gospels, he says he was grieved to the point of near death. So he was almost dead and the physical suffering had begun. But then when that physical suffering begins, they slap him, they beat him, they flog him with a Roman Catalan tail. So I don't want to go, I could spend the whole lesson telling you about the suffering of Jesus. All these people saw that and were afraid. But these women stood. The disciples, as we notice from Matthew 26, verse 31, Mark chapter 14, 27, this is bringing you earlier, Jesus predicted that they would all forsake him. That was when he said, you will all forsake me, and Peter says, never. And he tells Peter, you are going to deny me three times. So he predicted that they would all forsake him. And Matthew 26, verse 56, Mark chapter 14, verse 450, all the disciples indeed forsook Jesus. Only the apostle Paul came back and stayed. John came back. Peter came later. John got him in. But Peter didn't stay. He denied the Lord. Luke records that after the third denial, the Lord turned and looked at him. I know he must have been crushed. He left crushed, but Jesus later on restores him. We ask some questions. The apostles fled, the women stayed. Were these women more courageous than the apostles? No, I myself am never going to stand in judgment of them. I wasn't there. I probably might have fled too with all they were going through. I believe these apostles were brave men whose faith had shattered. What happens when faith shatters? Fear takes over. Don't let fear take over. These lessons are recorded for us so that we can see that no matter what difficulty comes upon you, you can remain faithful. The Bible says that no temptation has been given unto a man except that which is common to a man. And with the temptation, God will provide a means of escape. So there's always a way out. And what do these women? These women stand as true examples of faith in the midst of the tragedy. The disciples teach a lesson too, in that you can fall and be restored. Because all the disciples fell, but Jesus restored them and gave them the Great Commission in the end. So the conclusion that we have here. I want to note, being that it's Mother's Day, some really important things about the women here. Note that women anointed Jesus first, preparing him for burial. Matthew 26 verses 6 through 13, Mark chapter 14, 3 through 9, it was a woman that prepared them. Notice that Pontius Pilate's wife, now this is from all that we know, a heathen woman, but she did something right here. She urged him to stand against a mob and save an innocent man. So her heart was right in that one deed. Notice that women were at the feet of Jesus so close they could hear him when he died. John chapter 19, 25 through 27. Note that women were the first to come and anoint his body after burial. So not before, but after. Matthew 28, verse 1. Mark 16, verse 1. Luke chapter 23, 55 and 56. Women again were the first to see the resurrected Lord. Matthew 28, verse 1 mentions Mary and Magdalene and one other woman. 9 says that as they were going to report back to the disciples, Jesus meets them and tells them, tell my disciples to meet you, to meet me in Galilee. So there's two women there that identified. Mark 16, verse 1 has Mary Magdalene going there. Verse 9 sets the order. Who did Jesus appear first to, according to, on the first day of the week? Mark 16, verse 9, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. The other lady, though, must not have been far behind. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18 is a more detailed account of Mary Magdalene as she meets the resurrected Lord. So you get a more detailed account. She comes and sees an angel. Where have you laid them? Then Jesus appears to her and she doesn't know where he is, and thinking he's the gardener, she asks him, where did you lay him? And he says, Mary. And she says, Rabboni. And then she clung to him and wasn't going to let go. The Greek word there shows she wasn't going to let go, but he has to say, let me go. I must go on about my business. Women were sent to tell the brethren, the apostles, to meet Jesus in Galilee, Matthew 28, verse 10. Now let us note, with all that I've said, are we placing women more important than Jesus or men? Certainly not more important than Jesus, no. They're not more important than men, because what does Scripture tell us? Galatians 3, verse 28, that in Jesus there's neither male nor female, slave or free. We're all one. Just noting that their faith, at a time where sometimes women, not by everyone, but much of society looked down on women. And even the apostles may have struggled. When the women come back and said, we've seen them, and they were thinking, oh, foolish women. But their faith stands as something to look at. On this Mother's Day, let's note the great faith that these courageous women showed. Do you want to be a Christian? Do you want to stand like they did? Well, you got to be in Jesus for that to take place. Now, how are you going to get into Jesus? There is salvation in no other name. Acts 4 and verse 12. So how do you get into him? Well, you got to believe that message. You hear it. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. So you hear it, you believe it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you don't want faith just as the demons have and tremble. Your faith has got to do something. The first thing it needs to do is repent. You're a sinner. Your faith is worthless. Repent or perish, Jesus says in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. On the day of Pentecost, when they had been told they killed Jesus, Peter tells them and they say, what must we do? Repent. And you need to be baptized to take away your sin. At the point of baptism, that's where sin is removed, because at that point you are buried with Jesus and you are raised with him. Now, it's not that the water in itself does something, because I, like you, took a shower this morning. But that shower didn't take sin away. But when you do it in faith and repentance, God takes sin away. Yeah. It's much like Naaman the leper. When he went down in the Jordan 7 times, not once like us, 7 times. Can you imagine? Water itself, without God, couldn't make him be cleansed of leprosy. But because God said it, it happened right at that point. If you want to become a Christian, you got to come into Jesus. You got to believe, repent, and be baptized. And we can do that for you. If you are a Christian but have fallen into sin, just repent. If you need to come, come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation, 383.